Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on LI News Radio, and we're talking about the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday and the meaning of it. And I have on the phone Steve DePass, who was a great entertainer, but also was part of the movement of civil rights and knew Dr. King personally. And we were talking about some of the, you know, the communications and how wonderful he was able to do the communications, as well as marry that with the great ideas. Steve, what were some of the things that you'd like to remember about Dr. King?
Justice. There was a phrase in the black community, because so much of the laws had been construed to keep the black population under restraint, repressed, and controllable. And so the catchphrase in the black community was, in referring to justice, meaning just us. Laws and activity and the power structure was created to control not the population at large, but just us. And they used to pun over the sound of the term justice and just us. And Martin made it a point to say that while we were suffering and under the present regime, that it might seem like just us, but that justice, literal justice, applies to every person in every part of the world, including Vietnam, including anywhere where true justice did not prevail. It was not just us, but we had to address our grievances under what he called a divinely inspired document, the Constitution of the United States.
Well, you brought up the Vietnam thing. When he decided that that we really didn't belong in Vietnam and that we were aggressors there, he took a lot of flack for that, and people said, "No, stick to your knitting, stay where you belong in the realm of civil rights movement here." And he didn't buy that.
No, and he was not going to let any kind of outside call, any kind of outside power, any kind of outside force influence his sense of justice, which didn't mean just us. I mean, justice itself, it had to prevail. And if you had the power of compassion, if you had the capacity for empathy and caring, it didn't just apply. As you treat the least of my brethren, this is how you treat me. These were Christ's principles. And you had to identify with suffering wherever it occurred. You had to scream and call out against injustice wherever it, because...
You know, I was at a meeting this morning where I, you know, got angry at, what's prevailing in our society today. And I'm not going to go into the details of what the meeting was about. But anger seems to be appropriate at times. Was he ever angry in a sense that, how did he manifest his that anger?
Intellectually. He had the capacity, he was so gifted of intellect. Remember that when he went to college, he was just a boy in college. All the other college people were years older than he was, but he was more than competitive with them. He excelled. He always excelled. So anything that happened, he had the capacity for intellectualizing, of treating any kind of problem with an intellectual dispatch and objectivity, that he could examine everything on its intellectual merits and dissect it and try to find a solution. He had that kind of analytical and academic mind, and he could dichotomize his thoughts.
Let me see if I can paraphrase what you're saying. He did not get into a a position of looking like he was flustered. He just came back with better information and brought the conversation deeper so that you'd understand it. And that was a matter of energy. Because you know why I'm saying that is because that's how I feel sometimes myself. I get very, very animated, and I get very smart at the moment because all of the juices are flowing.
Martin could be extremely animated, but there's a difference. You and I get pissed off. He had righteous indignation. There was a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good phrase. It's a good phrase, and it's a good description of the difference. So, anyway, you're doing some shows, aren't you, on Black History Month?
Well, I have conferred with Leslie Evans at the Lincoln Center, and I've consented to perform a concert this fall at the Lincoln Center. And
when you do things
now,
when you
some of my intellectual properties, as a matter of fact, you and I are involved in the collation and the dissecting of all of that stuff to see how I want to put this program together. As a matter of fact, earlier today, I was asking you to write a piece for me for the introduction of the song "An American Story," which tells the story of incident that happened in the old Jim Crow South, you know, which you're familiar with, and I need you to write that piece for me, and you'll introduce it for me at the concert.
Great. Yeah, and I would love to do that, you know. When you do the show, you're going to bring in some history, or is it going to be...
Well, you know that my programs always have some form of enlightenment. It isn't just entertainment, but it's entertainment and enlightenment. And if I try to make a point, I don't want to alienate anybody in my audience. And so I have to make a point through allegory and story and and parable. But it always has to have of the power of entertainment.
When you have a black audience,
able to do it right.
When you have a black audience, this all would seem very natural. If you could do this for a white audience, couldn't you?
You've seen me perform many times, Ernie.
No. I know. Yeah, but that was not about the civil rights movement. That was just pure entertainment.
I would say that I do just as well with the audience at the Apollo as I do with the audience at Carnegie Hall.
That's the question I wanted to hear. I wanted to clarify.
I don't have a problem communicating with other people. And by other people, I don't mean other as different. I mean people who are not myself. I have a way, as you do, of reaching out and communicating. I don't compromise who I am as you don't compromise who you are and what you believe. But my responsibility when I take that stage is to entertain and not to alienate. So if there are those, remember that I was the first person of color to perform at the University of Alabama, and that was back during segregation days, and so you had to be able to communicate. And you're not speaking to people of like mind.
How did that go?
That was wonderful because I was brought on the campus by one of the fraternities, and they had seen me perform. So a few of those guys had seen me perform way up in Pennsylvania at a place called Keystone College, which at the time was only a junior college. But I did a program there, and a couple of those good old boys saw me, and they approached me. And over many months of talking and so on, they convinced me, you know, that I should do this program.
Didn't they have to convince the administration too?
Well, there were black people on campus. They didn't have, and they weren't students. I mean, they had cooks. They had people who were maintenance men. They had different kinds of people. But if you were of color and on the campus at that time, you better well have a reason for being there. And I was brought on by a function sponsored by the fraternity, and they sponsored me, and I expressed my misgivings about going down there, and they told me, "You don't worry about a thing, Steve, because we gonna protect your ass."
So you felt a little comfortable.
And I was completely myself. I didn't feel...
You didn't pander.
No, I did not pander. And we had a good time. And in the references to things pertaining to race and the conditions there, I did a lot of satire about it and got a lot of laughs and so on. And I was greatly accepted as standing ovations and everything.
Well, if anybody's listening to this program right now and they need somebody for a good show, I can highly recommend you. You have done several shows for me. This is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Steve DePass. We were celebrating the Martin Luther King holiday and talking about reminiscent times of Steve's experience with the great communicator and civil rights leader, Martin Luther King. So, again, Steve, it's always been a pleasure to talk to you.
I think you might cut me off soon.
Yes, I will.
I want to tell you, Ernie, I'm very impressed with your Martin Luther King essay that you read earlier.
All right, Steve, thank you.
Thank you, Ernie.
Bye-bye.